as I was pressing in prayer at one of the altars, I knew I would be speaking here tonight, and I asked God, what does our church need? Now, when I say, when I preach a message, it's for the church, amen? But like Pastor Jerry used to say, if the shoe fits or the socks are stinky, or I don't even know what he used to say, then wear them, amen? Because that's what God is about. He's about speaking to us individually, even though the message is for the body. So, Father, we thank you that you speak to our hearts tonight, God. We give you complete liberty. Tell the Lord, I give you complete liberty in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I feel that, how many of you want to elevate this year? When we hear that word, it's exciting. It's an exciting word. It's an action word. It's like a moving word. But there's many, many things and that will cause you to elevate. Many ways that you're going to, many things that you're going to go through to get to that place. And tonight I want to speak on the subject of elevating your convictions. In order to receive the full anointing of God, you have to allow him to elevate your convictions. How many of you know you can't do it on your own? It's not by might, not by power, but it's by his spirit. And as we yield to his spirit and we say, God, have your way, and we open up to him, then he begins to move in our heart. Tonight, I just thank God for this privilege and for my husband, the pastor of our church, who is my pastor as well. And, you know, when one is down in our household, the other picks the other up. And we work like that. We're a team. We back each other up. We don't let the other stay down long. We're like, okay, come on, let's pray. Or come on, let's be encouraged. Or come on. And God is so good. When you give when the Lord gives you a back-to-back partner, as he has given us to each other, the enemy doesn't have no say. Amen? He cannot have his way. And how many of you know we are under an attack? We are in warfare right now. And we have to be vigilant and awake and alert. And we've been getting a lot of phone calls of emergencies lately and things that are happening. But they don't frazzle us. They don't get us all tripped up, because we are rooted and grounded in his word. We know who we are. We are convicted through his word, and we stand on his word. And tomorrow's a new day. So I'm so grateful this evening for my husband. Thank you, babe. I also thank God for his keeping power, for his anointing upon my life. I don't know where I would be. I would not be here if it wasn't for Jesus, for sure. And, you know, as we were in Mexico just receiving from God, I really took to heart my calling like never before. And I was so grateful and so broken for the honor and privilege to be able to serve at this capacity and this level. And I have gone from elevation to elevation, because the Bible says we'll go from glory to glory. And it didn't happen overnight. So don't think things are going to happen overnight. It's going to take some time, but I believe the key to that is an open heart. But it really made me think about the challenge that God put upon my life personally. When I hear the word, I take it for me. I don't take it for sister so-and-so, or I don't nudge my husband in the, you know, with my elbow and say, man, she's speaking to you. I want God to speak to me. I went for a message for me, and God challenged me. He challenged me, and he said, this is the year to elevate, so I need some things to elevate first in you. And I said, amen, Lord, what do you need for me? And I pondered on our year last year. Last year was a great year. It was our year of expectation. And how many of you saw God answer your prayers? You saw God move. You saw the Lord, you know, as you expected things, God had his way. Amen. And he did some great and mighty things. We saw God's supernatural power. We heard the report of Mila. For those of you that have not heard this yet, Mila's cancer is down to a crystal. Two little crystals. That's it. Give God a praise again. Our church has diligently prayed for that 7-year-old child for a whole year now. And when the text came to pastor, of course, it was after service, but we rejoiced. we saw the hand of God move. And I don't care what the devil is telling Brody, he has the victory. Amen? I don't care what the enemy is telling you, you have the victory. We saw God give us the victory. We saw his supernatural power move. We saw relationships healed. We saw unity and strength imparted to our leadership. This year is our year to elevate. That word elevate means to raise, to lift something up higher. Oh, come on now. To raise your faith a little higher, to raise your hopes a little higher, to raise your love for people a little higher, to raise a little higher, to increase the amount of something. Are you lacking in something? Then level up. Are you lacking in faith? Let God level you up. That's what our level up classes are all about, taking us to that next place of elevation. Pastor preached a powerful message on Sunday about elevation. And if you didn't hear it, you need to hear it. Amen? You need to ask or get on the podcast and just listen to it. It was very convicting, very powerful. But when I think of the word conviction, I think of my own convictions. I think about the day I gave my life to the Lord at 16 years old. When I was 16 years old and I was given the opportunity to give my heart to Jesus, the only hope I had ever heard in my entire life, I was all in. I threw myself 100% in. And immediately, God gave me convictions. Nobody had to tell me that I couldn't smoke weed, which I went to do right away and I couldn't do it. Nobody told me that I couldn't lie anymore. It was a conviction in my heart immediately. Nobody told me I couldn't cheat anymore. Immediately, conviction started hitting my life. And I believe and I am convinced that it's because of conviction that I am still serving God 42 years later, which just told my age, and that's okay. Because I believe in conviction. But you have to understand what conviction means. If you understand what it means, then you will want that as well. Conviction is that power within you, that voice within you, the Holy Spirit within you, nudging you and telling you and directing you. You know, you all have heard it. Don't look at me like you haven't heard it. You've all heard the voice of conviction, the voice of the Holy Spirit leading and guiding and directing you. And God will only direct you because he wants to take you higher. Amen? This is the road to elevation. Is convictions. And we're going to read about a young man who is one of my favorite examples in the Bible, and that's Daniel. For those of you that are in Bethy, you're learning about Daniel, right? And you're going to get deep into it. So I'm not going that deep, but I'm going to give you some really powerful things that I believe Daniel lived by. Daniel was a young man who loved God, who followed him with his whole heart. He stood on the convictions that were taught to him as a young man. He was set apart, and because of his conviction, he was elevated by an ungodly king. Do you see? It doesn't matter who you serve. Amen? I'm talking about your earthly job. Okay? For those of you that go to work every day and you don't like your boss and you think he's picking on you and you think he's out to get you and he's never going to give you a raise, it's not going to come from him. It's going to come from God. As you put your 100% in him and trust him the way Daniel did, God will raise you up. In Daniel 1, chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, it says, but Daniel made up his mind. Everybody say, made up his mind. That word mind means God placed it in his heart in the Hebrew, that he would not, everybody say would not, defile himself with the king's choice of food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander and of the officials. Obedience to God gave Daniel favor. He was determined to walk in his convictions. When they said he couldn't pray, he prayed anyway. When they said he couldn't fast, he fasted anyway. When they said he couldn't eat certain things and they offered him the delicacies, you're talking about living in a palace. And the king, he could eat at the king's table. He could have whatever he wanted. He could have whatever his flesh desired from A to Z. He could have it all. But a young man, he wasn't the only one. He had three buddies, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And they said, no, we will not. We will not bow. We will not submit. We will not surrender. We want to live a separated life. And so when you think about sacrificing your flesh or your carnality or your thinking or your desires, you think you're giving up a lot, but you're only giving up something that's going to reap a harvest of amazing fruit down the line. Our minds, you have to understand that our minds are enmity with God. They will never understand God's ways, ever, ever. The Bible says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are God's ways and God's thoughts higher than ours. As the rain comes down and we don't know where it comes from, so are his ways higher than ours. Higher. Why do we think we can figure him out? Why do we exalt ourselves into thinking God said when God didn't say? We have to know beyond it. We cannot use that word lightly. Well, God said and God's directing. Did he really? In Daniel's case, he did. In Daniel's case, he was directing him. Daniel understood that unless his mind stayed focused on God, that he would immediately become carnal like the rest of them. Because when you're in the world, you are not of the world. But let me tell you, it'll quickly jump on you if you don't have conviction. You have to understand that God looks at our heart, not the outward. Oh, you know, we can all fake it. Come on, let's be honest. Let's be real. Mama's talking to you. You can fake it. You know how to fake it. I know how to fake it. Everybody knows how to fake it. We can fake it till we make it. We can pretend. But how many of you know that God looks deeper? He's looking for Daniels in this hour. You see, Daniel, as you're going to study in your Vethi class, we are experiencing the fruit of Daniel's consecrated life today. He was used by God to prophesy things that we're seeing happen right now. He was used by God because God could entrust him with dreams and visions and interpretations that we are living in right now. We are living in the last days. And God is getting very serious about the way he's talking to his people. I know he was serious with us. As the leaders of this ministry, God spoke directly. He spoke, I mean, it was so clear, the message that God wants us to get back to basics. Prayer, fasting, holiness. We had communion, the most beautiful communion I have ever experienced. We had communion together. Your leaders, the elders of this ministry, our founders, find it very, very important for the future of this ministry to stay in holiness and in convictions. And that's when God dropped that message in me. See, because convictions don't come from works or doing or outward. They come from in here. They come because you love God and you don't want to turn away from him or do anything that would not be pleasing to him. That's not condemnation. The Bible says there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ. But the rest of that word is those that are in Christ. Condemnation is only for those that aren't in Christ, that don't remain in his will, that don't align themselves with him daily. But we know it's time. Everybody say it's time. The word conviction means the quality of showing that one is firmly convinced of what he believes. You've heard a saying like this, his voice lacked conviction, right? You've heard that? So what God is saying, are you firmly convinced in his word? Are you firmly convinced in the direction that he has for your life? Are you firmly convinced that he has promises for you? Are you firmly convinced that he will elevate you? Are you firmly convinced he wants to save your family? Are you firmly convinced he wants to heal you? Just in the last days, we've seen demons flee as we have prayed over people. The devil's a liar. I mean, he is such a liar. He has been hitting and hitting and hitting. He busted our screen door. I'm like, is that all you got? He stole our plants from the church. He wrecked the women's home vans. I tell you, he's trying hard. But guess what? He's on the outside. He's not on the inside. Amen? He can't touch this. Oh, I feel like MC Hammer. Can't touch this. He cannot. Because you are anointed of God. Amen? You're the Daniels of this hour. The Danielas of this hour. But we have to stay there. We have to stay like Daniel and not be moved. Amen? Everything is going to happen around us or maybe even hit us. But we can't be moved. In order to have convictions, you have to be convinced that God is with you. That every word is truth, and that truth is what sets you free. He can elevate the way you think, the way you feel, the way you treat people. Are you convicted about the way you treat people? Or is it so easy for you to just like talk about someone? Is it easy for you to just like chuck somebody off, or cut somebody off on the road, or say something negative, or go behind closed doors? See, that's true conviction, is the integrity that you have behind those doors. It's not what you do in front of people. It's what you do when you're not. Amen? Convictions. Are you convinced that you are called by name and that God has something great for you? Like Daniel, you can be elevated to greatness. See, Daniel, because of his life and because he was set apart, he wouldn't eat the food the kings ate. He didn't eat the delicacies. Daniel fast. That's where we get it from. Everything that grows from the ground. But he didn't just fast because he decided. He had a mission. Do you have something that's worth fighting for? Do you have a family that's worth standing for? Daniel understood that if he did not stand in his convictions, that he was not going to get the breakthrough he was looking for. And let me tell you, the enemy didn't want that breakthrough. He fought and he wrestled. The enemy wrestled with the angel of God for 21 days, not for Daniel's prayers to go up because they went up, but for the answer to come down. See, the enemy doesn't want your answer to come down. He's doing everything he can to hinder your answer. How are you going to get your answer? Are you going to fight? Are you going to fight? Victory Outreach Albuquerque, are you going to fight? You have to fight for what you're convicted about. I am convicted that God wants this church to move forward, so I will fight for it. I will put up my dukes and tell the devil, is that all you have? You're not going to move us. We will not be moved. We serve a God that's greater, that he is a God of impossibilities. He is my God, and I'm convicted with that truth. I will not be moved. See, when I got saved, I was radical in my convictions. I was crazy in my convictions. I didn't listen to worldly music, and if you had it on, I'd say, turn it off. I didn't go to a movie that showed anything that shouldn't have been showed. I said, I walked out. I didn't talk any bad things. I was serious. Your pastor needed to be saved. Did I have a mission? Oh, yeah. I was standing, fasting, and praying. I remember one time I went on a 3-day fast. I had never fasted in my life. And I went to my leader and I said, I'm sick of drug dealing in my house. I'm tired of it. My little girls are growing up. I don't know how to get rid of this. What do I do? I mean, my self-righteousness and playing the Holy Spirit is not working anymore. So what do I do? She said, go on a 3-day fast. A salad fast. Just have a salad every evening for 3 days. And God is saying something supernatural is going to happen. I went on that fast with no problem. I said, if God is going to move supernaturally, I'm on this fast. And I remember the wisdom and the anointing. I felt like probably Daniel must have felt the anointing and the wisdom that was coming into my life during those 3 days. I remember counseling women because I counseled women back then. And I remember counseling a friend who was going through something. And she goes, "You sound different. What's going on? It doesn't even sound like you." And I said, "Well, I don't want to say, but I'm going to say I'm fasting." She's like, "Wow. Wow. That's heavy." She goes, "You, wisdom is just flowing out of you." But it was God, because I needed something. I wanted to be set apart. I wanted to see God move. My pastor's wife told me he was going to move, and I believed her. And guess what happened on that third day? All of a sudden, there was a drug bust in the fire department. It was horrific. And my husband could have been the very first one they arrested. But because of prayer, God didn't let that happen. God spared our family. And he came home, and he took every drug out of the house. And never again did he deal drugs in our house. And shortly after that, God saved him. And God didn't just save him. God radically saved him. God radically delivered him. Instantly he was delivered. And instantly I knew that this was a man of God. Instantly. But it took some sacrifice on my part. It took me setting my life apart. What are you going to do to see the hand of God move? What are you willing to do? What is a meal? What is two meals? What is giving up sweets or the TV or your phone or whatever? We're going to be going into a 40-day fast, and I encourage you to join us. We'll have, it's a simple fast. You just every day give up something different. You don't do something different, like one day no whites, which are bread, pasta, whatever, you know, just meat. The next day it's vegetables, and the next day we fast from the internet. You know, it's beautiful. But the thing is that we all come together, everybody in Victory Outreach International, one mind, one accord, praying and fasting and believing God. Because we need to see him move. We need to see him move. We need to see the mountains move. And it's going to come through that. God is looking for us in this third wave revival that's about to take place to live a more separated life. Not in your own strength, just a decision. Daniel decided in his mind. Daniel decided in his heart. It's a decision. God doesn't say you have to do this or else. He doesn't do that. He says it's a decision. What are you going to decide to do? Not only did his convictions cause him to stand strong and live a separated, uncompromising life, but it caused the perfect will of God to fall upon him and the favor of God that was upon him. He had so much favor. My goodness, have you ever fought with a lion in a lion's den? Has God delivered you from the mouth of a lion? Spiritually, he has, but has he ever? I mean, he delivered him from the lion's den. Oh, my goodness. He delivered him from the fire. Who was the fourth man in the fire? It was Jesus. Amen. Jesus was in the fire with Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and God delivered them because they set their life apart to do his will. God will always, always come through for you when you do his will. He has his perfect will for you. And in this third wave of revival, the Holy Spirit is coming strong. It's like I feel it's like a locomotive train right now. Ready to just dump the Holy Ghost power on us. But are we ready for it? What are we going to do with it? Are we going to just keep it for ourselves, or are we going to win people? It's for everybody else. God is raising up some holy warriors in this time. He wants us to take position, to position ourselves, and to be serious about the position. Not the title, the position, the posture of our faith, the yielding of our lives. Men and women that have complete 100% trust in him. Men and women that are obedient till it hurts. obedient till it hurts. Have you been that obedient? Have you been that you, it hurts to be obedient? I'm telling you, it hurts to be obedient. Because the flesh is saying, do something different. But God's saying, be obedient. Be obedient. God wants to entrust us. He wants to give it to us. He wants to pour his power on us. But he wants you to have more of him and less of you. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. His prayers were answered. God used Daniel in a prophetic way. I just heard Perry Stone, you know, y'all listen to him. And he's, to me, he's like a modern, he is a crazy modern day prophet. I mean, he is crazy, the things he says. But he was talking about the book of Daniel and the prophecies that are coming to pass. And he's talking about even right now in the generation we live in, the things that are happening are prophetic. What's happening all around you is very prophetic. And I'm not going to say the things that are happening because y'all watch the news. I don't have to tell you, but everything is prophetic. God is on the move. He has people to win to him. And you're going to be the person that wins them. You and I are going to be the people that win them. He has people to reach. He has people to touch. He has people to heal. We're his hands. We're his feet. We're his voice. All I know is what I got at this retreat that we were at, this leadership retreat, is I don't want to miss it. I refuse to miss it. I refuse, Pastor and I refuse to be the ones that miss it. We want to be relevant. We want our edge to stay sharp. We want God to show us things. We want to be able to see. We want to be able to do. But it's not going to happen until we set ourselves apart. And that's what we're doing. Right now, we're in a separated time with God. And there's an anointing. You've been feeling it in the church. It's a supernatural anointing that's falling upon the church. And it's a serious time, not so that you could freak out and say, oh my God, Jesus is coming right now. Well, you should live like he is, but it's coming. It's serious, serious time because he desires to do something great. And we believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that Victory Outreach Albuquerque is called to be a big, 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 big part. That's all of you. So when you hear messages like this, take it to heart and say, God, what do you want from me? How do you want me to live a separated life so that I can have more of your anointing, more of your spirit, more of your will, so I can do what you've called me to do? A greater anointing, a greater capacity, a greater love, and a greater desire to serve. Convictions plus obedience equal elevation. See, elevation is not going to come the way you think. You're just not going to get to the top of the mountain. You got to get there. You have a journey. Christianity is a journey. Your walk is a journey. It's a good journey. I love my journey. I don't regret any day of my journey, even the bad days. I don't regret them because every step of the way, God did something supernatural. God showed me who he was. And Linda and I were talking today how the Israelites, they could have had provision for every day just like that. But God wanted to give them provision daily so they would trust him. And if you don't see a big old giant provision, it's because God wants you to trust him. He wants you to trust him, to believe that he is with you and he's walking with you. Stand with me tonight. God is taking us to new levels. We are fighting the good fight of faith. We're convinced that he goes before us, that he's our rear guard. We're convinced that beyond a shadow of a doubt, that God has great things for each and every one of you. Each and every one of you are vital to moving this movement forward. See, a movement of elevation can't happen with 2 people or 3 people. It has to happen with all of us. When the Israelites went through the journey, There wasn't just one or two of them. There was millions of them that went through the desert together to get to their promised land. And we are feeling in the spirit like never before that God is bringing this body into unity, complete unity, to march forward. See what happens when you're marching forward together in one mind and one accord? Nothing can get through the ranks. Nothing. You're locked. You're locked and loaded, but you're locked and loaded in the spirit, not in the flesh. You're marching together in one mind and one accord. And God is, he goes before us, but he's our rear guard. So as this army marches forward, tearing down the strongholds of Albuquerque, New Mexico, through prayer, through fasting, through reaching, the enemy is not going to break ranks. Don't let him break the rank. You are marching in the ranks of something power that powerful, that's bigger than you. And Daniel understood that. He understood that his separated life was bigger than him. He understood that his obedience was way bigger than him. Your obedience is way bigger than you. Your little sacrifices that you think you're making right now are nothing compared to the glory that's coming upon your life. It's nothing compared to the promises that he's about to unleash. So listen to God right now. Listen to him. Listen to the voice beyond the voice. He is the one directing this movement, not us. Even our founders, in his humility, our founders walk in such humility. I am honored to serve under my founders. I am so honored to serve a man and a woman who walk in such humility. With their big old giant title, they still walk in humility. And we are honored to serve them. You need to feel honored to serve Jesus and to serve in this ministry, because we are going somewhere. We're in line. We're on the brink of something powerful. And we don't want you to break ranks because you're going to miss it. What does that mean? You stay in the fight. Stay in the fight. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Be like Daniel, relentless in your pursuit of God. No matter what the crowd around you is saying or doing, no matter how the enemy hits you, don't give up. The Bible says in due time, everybody say due time. If it's your due time today, then so be it. If it's your due time tomorrow, we celebrate with you. In due time, he's going to give you what you've been praying for if you faint not. Due time. He has a perfect time and a perfect will for your life. And if you're ready to go to the next level in your convictions and get this anointing that I'm talking about, that God is about to release upon this church like never before, I'm not asking you to walk to the altar. I'm telling you, run to this altar. Because there's a power of God about to be released upon you. To keep you strong, to keep you standing, to keep you immovable, to keep your convictions in him strong. Hallelujah, Jesus. Light in the darkness.